normal and proper Christian practice for the building up of the body of Christ. You know, we have a heritage. The Lord has given us a heritage in His recovery, and so many wonderful things that we've discovered from the Bible. And these aren't things that we dreamed up, but were discovered in the Bible as marvelous Christian practices. And to a large part, many of these practices were lost in the experience of believers for centuries. But they're in the Bible. They're in the New Testament. So we know that they were at least in the experience of the first church. And throughout church history, we find traces of these in the experience of the seeking believers. Certainly, if you read church history, you'll pick up a lot of the things we're going to mention today in other seeking believers' experience. But in these last 70 years, since the Lord's recovery began again in this way, of course, the recovery has been going on one since the decline of the church. But in an intensified way, these practices have greatly enriched the church and enriched the believers who have entered into them. And so we feel we just have to call our attention again and encourage all of us and remind many of us to enter into these practices.
Amen.
Normal and proper Christian practices with the result that they build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
This is all for the building up of the body of Christ.
Right.
We need a vision of Christ, and I believe we've gotten a vision of Christ. And we need to see the church, and I think we saw a lot of the church last night. But we also need practices. We want to put a handle on this.
Right.
You know, we have a vision of Christ. We have a vision of the church. We want to put a handle on this.
Amen.
So that with this handle, we can enter into it very experientially. Because,
right.
But we need a vision and we need the experience
Amen.
Of the riches of Christ. And this is all for the building up of the church, the body of Christ.
Amen.
So we're going to spend some time on these practices this morning in both sessions. Okay, the first thing we've always got to mention when we talk about any proper Christian practice, a healthy practice, is this first matter of which is consecration.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very sweet topic to me.
Amen.
Very sweet topic. Let's read these verses. Let's have the sisters begin on 6:20 and the brothers, Romans 12:1. Okay, sisters.
For you were bought with a price.
Okay, brothers, Romans.
I beg you, therefore, brothers, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your most reasonable service.
Okay, sisters, 2 Corinthians.
For the love of Christ constrains us, that those who live may no longer live to themselves, but to Him.
Brothers, Ecclesiastes.
You and the dawn of life are vanity. Be mindful of your Creator in the days of your youth.
Okay, in a sense, I think many of us have heard consecration, and maybe we've had some experience. I don't know. Maybe some of us haven't. And those of us that have, maybe our consecration still needs to be refreshed. And, of course, on one hand, you know, in this matter of consecration, that means an offering of ourselves to the Lord. On one hand, there is the crisis of consecration.
Yeah.
And that is when we have a struggle to offer ourselves to the Lord
Amen.
And to give up our life to Him.
Amen.
That's a kind of a crisis.
Yeah.
Many times it involves a struggle. I know in my experience, I have to say that it was a big struggle.
Right.
And it was a struggle that went on for a period of time, and at different, I would make progress and the Lord would push me a little further, and there was a crisis that went on for several months. But then there's the ongoing daily consecration as life progresses, as we new things in our life, we enter new experiences. Now, many of you, you're in college, and then you'll graduate, and you'll have a new step, and then you'll get married, you'll have a new step, you'll get a job, you go to full-time training, all these kinds of things. So life goes on.
Amen.
So on one hand, there's this matter of the initial consecration, which is very crucial.
Right.
And then there's the ongoing consecration as life changes, even moment by moment.
Yeah.
But I would say unless we have this experience, we're going to have a hard time to have a normal and proper Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can have it, to tell you the truth. I really don't think your Christian life will ever be normal and will ever be proper if you don't pass through this gate, saints. And all we can do is present this. But whether you pass through this gate or not is up to you. Up to you deciding what you want to do. And this is the Lord's, you know, the Lord's wisdom. You know, 1 Corinthians says you were bought with a price. Okay, that's settled. All, I believe everyone in this room is saved.
Sure.
I don't have any doubt about that. We're all saved, which means we were all bought with the price of the blood of Christ.
Amen.
So we're already bought. We're already, we belong to Him.
Yeah.
But the problem is this. God is very great. And
Amen.
He never forces himself.
Right.
He never forces people to take his way. He gives man a free will. He gave Adam and Eve a free will. You know, you talk, preach the gospel sometime, unbelievers say, I can't understand, why did God put that tree there with good and evil and life? Why did he just, you know, give man the choice? Why didn't he just have only life on the tree? Because God is great. And he likes man to be able to choose.
Yeah.
The church is his bride.
Right.
And the fact that the husband and the wife freely choose each other makes the marriage sweet, romantic, and full of love.
Right.
If you force this woman to marry you, that they do that in some parts of the world, right? Maybe it works, I don't know. But it's not very romantic, that's for sure. But God wants his people to choose him.
Amen.
Freely. So we're bought with a price, but then Paul says, I beg you, brothers. He's talking, to people that have already been bought with a price.
Right.
But he says, I beg you, brothers, through the compassions of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Amen.
Which is reasonable. This is reasonable.
Amen.
Then Paul gives his own experience. He says, for the love of Christ constrains us. So on one hand, we're bought. It's a done deal. We're slaves. On the other hand, whether we willingly choose our master or whether we remain our whole life runaway slaves depends on us. You know, about a day after I was saved, this was really, really amazing. I got a wonderful Bible teaching. A brother told me, he said, you know, all Christians are slaves of God, but there are two kinds of slaves. They're the runaway slaves and they're the obedient slaves. And the runaway slaves, they still belong to God, but they spend their whole life running away from their master. And many believers do that.
Yeah.
They spend their whole life bought with a price, belonging to God, a child of God, but runaway slaves. And when you're a runaway slave, you never have peace.
No.
You never have joy. You always feel guilty. You're looking over your shoulder. You know, concerned about somebody coming after you. Or, in other words, it's not what we're called to. We have a wonderful master, but he says, you have to choose me.
That's right.
So Paul says, the love of Christ constrained
me. Amen.
So we can speak about consecration, and we can lay out some principles, but we have to pray, Lord, may your love constrain me.
Amen.
Lord, even we need to pray the prayer in Song of Songs, Lord, draw me.
Amen.
Lord, draw me.
Amen.
We are by nature runaway slaves.
That's right.
I was a chief runaway slave. I was saved running. But I tell you, the more I touched his love,
Amen.
I just was drawn to him.
Amen.
And then as I began to realize he wants me to give my life to him. I had some battles. I had some struggles.
Sure.
Number one, I didn't trust him. I trusted myself to manage my affairs much better than him.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, I had the devil putting lies in my head that, oh, he's going to make you be this, and he's going to take away that, and he's going to be cruel and mean, and you know, all these lies about, you know, life will be no fun anymore. And, you know, I mean, maybe it's not the words, but it's the feeling.
Yeah.
It's the impression the devil gives us. Why we cannot trust him.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, we have that song 473 that says, all things are yours
That's
when
right.
you are his.
Amen.
actually, the blessed route to travel is the way of consecration.
That's right.
That song is a good song. It talks about a person that is given to the Lord. Everything is for that person. Life and death and every circumstance works for the benefit of one who is fully in the Lord's hands.
Amen.
This is the blessed way, and I just pray that all of us would pass through this gate.
Yes.
Because I honestly, from my experience, would say I don't believe you can have a normal and proper Christian life without passing through this gate. I don't believe it.
That's right.
Because we have to pray, Lord, draw us. It's hard to make this decision to give him our life, to give him our future, to give him everything. He wants everything. He wants everything. He wants it all. But it's hard unless he draws us. Unless he draws. You know, I told a story at the Summer School of Truth in Oklahoma. I read this from Watchman Nee's collected works, and it, to me, it's a beautiful story of consecration and a beautiful illustration of consecration. I want to share it again with all of us. Those that heard it, just bear with me. It's a true story. Watchman Nee says this is a true story. And it's the story of a man who went to Africa in the last century from Europe. And he went there, and he went to one of the coastal cities, and he was a Christian. Anyway, he was there on the coast, and he was there to do business. But as he came into the city, he saw a slave auction taking place. And, of course, this was a common thing. And in Africa, at that time, they were exporting slaves and so forth. And there was a woman, a young girl, standing on the auction next to the auctioneer. And there was a crowd bidding for this woman, young woman. And the man from Europe, the Christian man, was recounting. He's telling the story, and Watchman Nee is repeating it. But anyway, he said that as he saw the slave auction, he looked at the woman and he saw the fear in her eyes. Of course, a young woman, and these people were bidding, and eventually there were two men who began to bid against one another for the woman. And he looked into their eyes and he saw the evil in these men. And he looked at the woman again, he saw the fear. And can you imagine what a terrible thing? And so they were bidding against one another, and eventually one of the men seemed to have reached a point that the other one wasn't going to match. And then this merchant from Europe, this Christian gentleman, the auctioneer says, you know, do I hear another one? Going once, going whatever, however they do it. And he then said, I have a bid. And he bid a large sum over the last amount, large sum. Not just a few dollars more, but way more. And all the crowd, of course, they looked at him. He hadn't been involved in the bidding. And he didn't look like, you know, he was in this business. So it was a little strange. And the two men, of course, that had been bidding, especially that one, they looked, you know, puzzled. And then the auctioneer says, okay, is there another bid? And this was far more than anybody had, so there was silence. So he said, okay, sold to this man. So the woman was chained at the feet, maybe the hands, I don't know. But they brought her over to this man. And he paid the money. And then he told the men that were that brought her over there, he said, okay, take the chains off of her. And they took the chains off her feet. And he said, okay, take the chains off her hands. And they took the chains off her hands. And then he looked at the woman. He said, okay, I bought you, and now I set you free. And then he turned away, and he started walking to wherever he was going, his ship or whatever, or to do his business. And the woman, of course, young woman, was just standing there and just in awe. She was just in shock because she was a slave. Number one, fixing to be sold to one of these two evil men, and she saw her future as Tara. And all of a sudden, she's purchased by someone else who frees her. So he walks away. And she just stands there in stunned silence. And then, as he is quite a ways away, all of a sudden she just kind of comes to herself and starts running toward this man. And she reaches him and she grabs him. And he turns around and she says, "Sir, I will serve you forever."
Whoa.
And to me, this is a sweet story of consecration.
Wow.
The Lord set us free, saints.
Amen.
The Lord set us free.
Hallelujah.
He didn't demand that we give our life to him in a legal way. Rather, he freed us. But in love, if we consider this wonderful person in love, the blessed way is to willingly give ourselves to him.
Amen.
This is a life of blessing. We have to make this decision. So young people, I hope all of us will have a time of dealing with the Lord.
Amen.
To give him. And let me say, I've said this many times before, but he is trustworthy.
Amen.
He is trustworthy. You
Amen.
Can trust him.
Hallelujah.
You can trust him with your future.
Amen.
You can trust him with your dreams.
Hallelujah.
You can trust
Amen.
Him with your hopes.
Amen.
You can trust him with your fears.
Amen.
The worst thing is for you to try to manage your own life.
Right.
It's not the way of blessing. The way of blessing is to give everything to
Hallelujah.
This one.
Amen.
That's the blessed way to go. And I just encourage you to spend some time, definite time, make some time to go away, to get alone,
Amen.
Close the door,
Amen.
And begin praying and offering your life, your future, your hope, your dreams, your fears, your ambitions, everything.
Amen.
Who you want to marry. I know this is a big thing.
Yeah.
Who you want to marry, what you want to do, when you want to do it. And I've shared this many times before, but I consider it such a blessing that when I first heard about this, that the brothers that spoke this word encouraged us even to make a list.
That's
and
right.
I did.
That's right.
I made a list. And
Amen.
I remember making that list.
Yeah.
And I remember as I would, the Lord would remind me of things and
Amen.
Nudge me of things.
Amen.
And I'd put them on that list. And the Lord, that was a legal document.
That's right.
I made a contract with him.
Amen.
And he holds me to that contract.
Amen.
Anyway, this is a blessed way to go.
Amen.
And remember, youth. And the dawn of life are vanity.
That's right.
Yes, now you're young and everything, and it seems like so much is before you, but it's vanity.
That's right.
It's vanity. Why is it vanity? Because you're getting old. I was there. I was right where you are. In fact, I still think of myself as a college student. Because that's when I got saved. That's when I was my old life was finished when I was in college. So I never really had an adult life. In a sense. I mean, I just I'm locked in time because I got transferred into Christ when I was in college. But I'll tell you, youth and the dawn of life are vanity. You're getting older and you need to invest now.
Amen.
Invest now in Christ.
Best now.
Because the benefits, when you're old without Christ, is terrible.
Yeah.
Don't grow old without Christ.
Oh.
Don't grow old without Christ.
That's right.
Mm. Grow old with Christ.
Amen.
Okay. Of course, as life continues, we have new things. We need to give these to the Lord.
Yeah.
We need to get married. We need to give our marriage.
Amen.
Go to a job. We need to give our job. We consider a job. We need to give that to the Lord. Don't make decisions like this.
Yeah.
Without giving them to him.
Amen.
Don't just decide what you're going to do for a living. Don't just decide that you're going to move here for a job. You have to give it to him.
Amen.
Yes, you have the freedom to do that, but I'm not talking about your freedom. I'm talking about the blessed route.
Amen.
I encourage you to take the blessed route.
Amen.
And that's the route of giving everything to him once and for all and continually.
Amen.
This preserves you and this keeps your Christian life normal.
Amen.
Okay, then Roman numeral 2 is a lifelong attitude of pursuing the Lord.
Amen.
This is the attitude we need.
Yeah.
An attitude of pursuit. Okay, let's
Yeah.
read that first verse, Philippians 3:14, just that
Amen.
Segment. I pursue toward the goal for the prize. Okay, this was Paul's attitude, a pursuing attitude.
Amen.
This man was pursuing. And he was pursuing toward the goal for the prize. We don't have too much time this weekend to talk about the prize, but you're saved already. You're saved. Your eternal security with Christ is secured. You're going to be in the New Jerusalem. But before that, there is a prize.
Yeah.
In the next age of 1,000 years, there is a prize. Really, what it is just the New Jerusalem 1,000 years early.
Yeah, that's right. That's
really what it is. But Paul saw this prize and he said, I want this prize and I'm running for it. This is so precious. And we need this kind of attitude to run for this prize.
Amen.
And then I listed a few things here under Roman numeral A that we need to have this kind of a guarding attitude.
Amen.
And these are an attitude of choosing and refusing and guarding and fleeing and exercising.
Amen.
This is real rudimentary stuff, in a sense. It's blocking and tackling, as they say in football. It's real basic. Real basic. You've heard some of this. But anyway, it bears repeating. I need to hear this again, because we need these things all our life. And I just really enjoy this first verse, and let's all read this together, and that's Hebrews 11:24-26. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter,
choosing
rather to be ill-treated with the people of God
than
to have the temporary enjoyment of sin, considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches and the treasures of Egypt, for he looked away to the reward. Okay, again, the reward is mentioned. Salvation is not a reward. Salvation is not a prize. Salvation is a free gift. God gives us the gift of salvation when we believe in him. No strings attached. No strings attached. It's a free gift, it's not a prize, and it's not a reward.
Yeah.
But there is a prize, and there is a reward, and that entails us cooperating and pursuing.
Yes.
And Paul said that he ran for the prize, and Moses, in the Old Testament, looked away toward that reward. And because of that, he did some things, and I really like this. First of all, I didn't put this in the bold print, but first of all, Moses must have considered. It says considering. He considered. First thing he did is he considered. He considered the reproach of Christ to be greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. So he made a consideration. To hear the riches of Egypt. Some people say, by the way, that Moses was in line to be the Pharaoh. That he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and because of that, he himself one day would have been Pharaoh.
Wow.
Okay, we don't know for sure, but there is some historians that have considered that. Anyway, he would have been somebody big because he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he looked at the treasures of Egypt, and then he looked at the reproach of Christ, and because he was looking away to the reward, he said, okay, I'm considering and I am choosing.
Wow.
So the first thing he did is he considered, and the second thing he did is he chose.
Amen.
He chose to be ill-treated with the people of God. In a sense, I praise the Lord for all of us this weekend that we have chosen.
Yes.
You chose to come here.
Amen.
You chose to sit in hard chairs.
Amen.
You chose to be crowded.
Amen.
You chose to have a lot of meetings. You could have been somewhere else. You could have been at the OU Texas game. You could have been at some activity somewhere, but you chose.
That's right.
To be ill-treated on these hard chairs with the people of God. So you made a consideration and you made a choice too. That's good. Our life is full of these kinds of things. Life is full of this.
Amen.
Job opportunities,
Amen.
All kind of things. We always need to be considering and choosing.
Amen.
Choosing Christ.
Amen.
Remember, the pleasures of the world and the pleasures of sin are temporary.
Temporary.
It's temporary. Yes, there may be pleasure. We won't say there's not pleasure in the world, but it's temporary. At most, it's only 80, 90 years. Very temporary. And then after he made his choice, he refused. And we need to be able to refuse things. Refuse things. Things come our way. Maybe we get an invitation somewhere. We get asked by someone to do something. We need to be able to refuse. If you can't refuse, I'm concerned for you. Okay, then the next verse says, guard your heart. Our heart is real sticky. So if you're going to live a normal and proper Christian life, saints, we've got to guard the heart.
Amen.
Guard your heart.
Amen.
Your heart will lead you to many things.
Amen.
And leads all of us to things. And you know, in Romans, it mentions that in chapter 6, it says we need to present our members to God for sanctification. And I have found from my experience that my heart is so connected to my sensory organs.
That's right.
My eyes,
right.
My ears, especially the eyes and the ears, what I listen to, what I watch, what I
exactly.
see, and what I let my mind ponder on and dwell on and think about. These things carry me away. You know, the eyes, the ears, and the mind, what it thinks on, we have to guard it. Guard it. Because out of the heart come the springs of life.
Amen.
And we need to learn to flee. On a college campus, you've got to learn to flee, right?
That's right.
I'm sure you've already had experiences of fleeing. But the Christian life is a fleeing life.
Amen.
It's a right. fleeing life.
Amen.
You know, Jesus was born right after he was born. You know what they did? You know what his parents did?
Flee.
They fled.
That's right.
They fled. They took off to Egypt out of the good land because there was going to be a persecution. They didn't stand and fight. Okay, we're going to fight. Moses and Mary
right.
said, we're going to fight. This is unrighteous.
right.
We're fighting for right. No, they just fled. As a Christian, don't think that you don't have to flee. We have to flee a lot of things.
Yeah,
flee
right.
a lot of entangling situations.
That's right.
Really. You know, as young people who love the Lord, I would say this. You are very attractive. Young people that love the Lord are very attractive. You're the most attractive people on a college campus. You are the most attractive people. Your humanity, your character,
yeah.
your being. I mean, even though maybe you're not any Madame Guillon, you are, you love the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
You're not, you know, maybe you don't know who Madame Guillon is. You're not an Apostle Paul, but you love the Lord.
Right.
And I tell you, there's something about you that's very attractive.
Yeah.
People will be attracted to you. And on one hand, that's good. But on the other hand, when it can be members of the opposite sex, it can be very complicating.
Absolutely.
Because they see, whoa, this is a good one. This is a person, this yeah. kind of person I'd like to be with. On one hand, that's good. On the other hand, be careful.
Amen.
Be careful. That can lead you into an entangling relationship that will bring you out of a normal proper Christian life.
Right.
So be able and be ready to flee.
Amen.
Flee.
Amen.
Amen. And then pursue. Okay, that's what we're talking about, pursuing. Flee and pursue. Then exercising. We need a life of exercise.
Amen.
If we're going to have a normal Christian life, proper
exercise.
Christian life, we need an exercing life.
Amen.
We cannot be passive. This morning I was stood out of the door of the hotel and I saw this sister exercising, right? You were running? Weren't you running you? And you were with her? And jogging, they were up? Or who else? Cecilia? Who else? Somebody else. Okay. Anyway, with three of them exercising, running. That's good. Good. Bodily exercise profits a little. We also need to exercise to godliness. And there are a lot of good exercises. Don't be passive.
Right.
Don't be passive.
Right.
You can't live a normal proper Christian life for the church if you're passive.
Right.
And the exercises, we've already mentioned a number of them. We have those six buckets, right, in Isaiah chapter 12. These
Amen.
Are exercises.
Amen.
To pull up that water is an exercise.
Amen.
And I have the next verse here. I want you to read that in 1 Corinthians 5:13. You see that under exercise? Read that verse.
For whether we are beside ourselves, it was to God. Or whether we are sober-minded, it is for you.
I just have a burden on this point. And I love this verse. I love both of these verses. You know, this should be 2 Corinthians, not 1st. That's an error. The verse is right, but the reference is wrong. It's 2 Corinthians.
Yeah.
I love these verses in 2 Corinthians 5:13 and then 4:13, which we'll get to a little later.
Yeah.
5:13 says, whether we were beside ourselves. Now, in the Weist translation of the Bible, it's kind of an expanded, like an amplified type Bible. In the Weist translation, Weist says that beside ourselves, and this is his words, not ours, means out of our mind. Out of your mind. For whether we are out of our mind, it was to God. Sometimes we say that, you know, get out of your mind. Get out of your mind. People, some people don't like that. They say, hey. Yeah, we said it. Paul said it.
Amazing.
So, the point is this. Neil said some of us are too cerebral, right?
Cerebral.
Not celestial, but cerebral. You know, celestial is like a shining star. No. If you're celestial, you're okay. But if you're cerebral, you got a problem. That means you're always in your mind. The eyes are rolling, you're pondering everything. Everything is mental. Everything is mental. Anyway, if we're this kind of person, and we all are to some degree, but some are more than others, remember this verse. Paul said, for whether we are beside ourselves, out of our mind. We don't need an out-of-body experience, but we need an out-of-mind experience. Get out of your mind.
Amen.
Break out of your mind.
Amen.
Through calling.
Amen.
Through praising.
Amen.
We've got to get out of the mentality that locks the grip.
Right.
It's not only the grip of your chest, it's a grip up here.
Amen.
It's a grip.
Right.
Break out of the grip.
Amen.
And again, saints, I speak from experience.
Really?
Because I was a cerebral person. And this was a battle for me. And I begin to be aware that I need to fight in this battle. I've got to get through in this area.
Right.
I've got to call. I've got to break through. My faith, you know, my faith was so thick. I was so concerned about what other people thought of me.
Yeah.
And even when I thought of myself, that it was a kind of a battle. And by the way, I told Neil this before, but and maybe we've even said this in a college conference, but it's amazing. I was also at Lake Pontchartrain. Remember he mentioned he went to this lake in New Orleans and he'd go out there and he would shout. Amazing. I was also at Lake Pontchartrain at the same time. But I must have been another part of the lake. Really. I was on a kind of a levee, Neil. I don't know where you were. But I was in a kind of a levee. And the reason we were there, we'll get to this later, is the brothers from Houston came through. At this time, we didn't have a whole lot of churches in this area. There was Houston, Dallas, and New Orleans, I think, maybe. About all.
Yeah.
Brothers from Houston came through, and they shared with us and begin to encourage us to rise early to have a time alone with God.
Right. Wow.
This is what brought all this about.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so this was not in our practice much, so we began to engage in this, and I don't know why, but both of us just decided to get out of our house and get away, and we went out to, he went to Lake Pontchartrain. I didn't know that, but I went to the same place. And anyway, I would go out there, and I would do the same thing. And I would just practice shouting. The top of my lungs, Lord Jesus. And I would pray and I would shout. Nobody was around. And I was exercising. He was around, but he wasn't close. I never saw him. He said he was at a seawall. I know where the seawall was. We used to baptize people at that seawall, right? Anyway, because Lake Pontchartrain is a big lake, they have a kind of a seawall. But I was exercising.
Amen.
Exercising to get out of my mind.
Amen.
And I say, don't take this too lightly.
Right.
Don't take this too lightly.
Right.
It's not a small thing.
Right.
I'm always a little concerned if a saint has never had the experience of breaking out of the grip of the mind and of the grip of the face of self-consciousness.
Right.
Too self-conscious.
Right.
Too self-conscious.
Right. Yeah.
And Paul said this, so we have a strong ground for this.
Amen.
And you know, in Isaiah 12 and other places in the Psalm 2, when it says, cry out and shout.
Amen.
Right.
The word shout there means a ringing shout.
Wow.
A ringing shout. And it's, you know, okay, who's going to give us a ringing shout? Okay, Jeff, show us what a ringing shout is.
A ringing shout.
You're on the spot now. Okay, stand up. And I want you to say praise the Lord with a ringing
shout.
With a ringing shout, praise the Lord, okay? See, and if you don't do it right, I'm going to correct you. Okay, ready? Go.
Praise the Lord!
Okay, it's not bad. You see the ringing? A ringing, when you hear a bell, it kind of rings, you know, praise! like that. Yeah. It's a kind of a holding. This is what the Bible means. Ringing shout. Anyway, try giving a ringing shout sometime. Okay. Then Roman numeral 3. Pursuing the Lord through the healthy life practices. The first verse there, Paul just reminds the believers in Philippi. He says, the things which you have learned and which you have received and which you have heard and seen, practice. Practice these things. Okay, young people, college students, many of you grew up in the church. You have learned, received, heard, and seen many things. But we need to practice these things. We need to practice these things. Okay, and many of us, I think, practice calling on the Lord. But maybe some of us don't much. But let's read the three verses on calling on the Lord, okay? Amen. Brothers, on the first verse.
The same Lord of all is rich to all who call upon him.
Okay, sisters.
Call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place.
All together. Let us offer up a sacrifice of praise continually to God. That is the fruit of lips confessing his name. Many verses on calling on the Lord. Too many verses. Just three we used here. Romans 10:12 does tell us this, that the Lord is rich to all who call. Some people argue you don't need to call that much. They say, well, you just call one time. Admittedly, the Bible says call, but why do you call a lot? I mean, can't isn't one time enough? You think God's deaf or something? I've heard these arguments. And God's deaf? Well, my response is, part of my response is, the Lord is rich. Why wouldn't I want to enjoy the riches more than once?
That's right.
I mean, we've all probably eaten ice cream, right? Have you just eaten it once? You already tasted it. You don't need to taste it again. But you like the taste. You like the riches. We eat things we like over and over and over. Too much, right? Part of my problem is ice cream. He's rich to all who call.
Amen.
So you want to enjoy the riches? Call.
Amen.
Call and you will enjoy the riches.
Amen.
Then 1 Corinthians says we should call in every place. Okay, there's a lot here, too. Number one, if you're in a place where you can't call on the Lord, get out. You're in the wrong place. And you may say, well, come on, it's a little much. Sometimes you can't call on the Lord in some places that are okay. You can call quietly. You can say, Lord Jesus. You can do that anywhere, an elevator, in a class, in your office, anywhere. You can call, oh, Lord Jesus. What I mean is if you're in a place that causes you to have no desire, no appetite, and no atmosphere for calling, get out of there.
That's right.
Those are the kind of places. Yes, certainly in an elevator, in an office building, maybe it was inappropriate to shout out on the Lord. You know, you all have to go to Lake Pontchartrain for that. Or someplace. And it's good. Roll up the windows of the car. I've done that. Let me tell you, I've done that many times. And shout. Shout. Lord Jesus. But we can call softly. But and I would say this, on the other hand, try to expand the borders of your calling. You might think, have I ever called on the Lord here before? Okay, oh Lord Jesus. Call on the Lord in every place, right? Call on the Lord in your classes. Call on the Lord at your job. Call on the Lord here. Call on the Lord there. In every place.
Amen.
And you can call quietly. You can call loudly. You can call moderately. You can call shoutingly. All kinds of ways to call.
Amen.
But he's rich.
Amen.
To those who call.
Yeah.
Enjoy his riches.
Amen.
Don't think, well, I just need to call once. You know, oh, Lord Jesus, good enough. I've called. I've done that. No, he's rich to call.
Amen.
And call from the depth of your being. Oh, try to practice calling from deep within. Amen. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Go deep.
Amen.
Then, just to underline this point, Hebrews 12:15, and there are other verses. But to underline this point, it says, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise continually, continually to God. That is the fruit of your lips, confessing his name.
Amen.
Again, some people argue, you're too verbal. Why do you have to call out loud? God knows what you're thinking. God can read your thoughts. God didn't have to hear your voice. God is great. Okay, that's all your logic. But the Bible says the fruit of lips.
Yeah, right.
The Bible says anyone confesses with his mouth.
Amen.
So that's the human logic, but the divine logic is we need to speak it.
Amen.
We need to use the lips. And you know, in Philippians chapter 2, it says, every tongue shall openly confess Jesus Christ is Lord. In God's arrangement, he knows that our speaking affects our whole being.
Right.
And that the thinking is in an abstract realm. But when our heart gets involved, when our mouth gets involved, it brings our heart into it.
Amen.
So here it says, confess. It says the fruit of lips.
Right.
Confessing his name. This tells us that a sacrifice of praise is calling on the Lord.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, they would sacrifice daily, always offerings, everyday offerings, everyday offerings. We need to make offerings all the time, continually make offerings.
Amen.
Here it says to have a sacrifice, but this is a sacrifice of praise.
Yeah.
And then he specifically says that is the fruit of our lips. The best thing that comes out of our mouth is the fruit of our lips.
Amen.
That is confessing his name,
Amen.
Lord Jesus. And he says continually. Amen. You know, there's a book written by an Orthodox priest from Russia. I heard about this book many years ago. Recently, I was talking to a brother about it. And it's called The Way of the Pilgrim. And it's about a brother, maybe, I don't know, when did he live? Do you know the story of you? 11th century, maybe? 12th century? A Russian monk. And he kind of stumbled onto this practice of calling on the Lord. And he would take these long walks, and he would call thousands of times. In fact, one day he called 6,000 times. And his calling, you know, it was very close to the way we do it, but his calling was, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Anyway, Lord Jesus Christ, called him the Lord. He didn't probably have to say the rest. He didn't know that, but he might have done 12,000 if he had known that. Oh, Lord Jesus. He added too many words.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're being perfected beyond.
Right.
We're streamlining, right? Advanced technology.
Right.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Hey.
But I do like the O, and I've often told saints, I like the O. I like the O, and there's a lot of scriptural ground for the O.
Oh, yeah.
In Psalms, you look how many times in the Psalms it says, oh, Lord, oh, God. And in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel's prayer is great. He says, oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, heal.
Amen.
What a prayer. The O, as I mentioned before, helps us to, it's a locator. It's a locator. You know, you may be up here, but the O brings you right down. Oh, I found it. Oh. You find your spirit with the O. No wasted words in the Bible. The O's are good. So we can tell that brother in the way of the pilgrim, he can cut back.
Right.
But don't drop the O's.
Don't drop the O's.
He could double his time.
Amen.
Okay, then the other daily practice is reading the Word, saints.
Yeah.
We need every day to call and every day to read the Word.
Amen.
And we need to come to the Word in a number of different ways. But number one, we need to read it.
Yeah.
Read it. Read the Bible. And I was in Stillwater last week, and we were fellowshipping there, and some of the students, and we just kind of made a little agreement. We were going to all try and read one chapter of the New Testament every day.
Yeah.
Starting from the very beginning. Just one chapter of the New Testament. I don't know. Have you been doing it, Stephen? Okay. Now it's not a good time to ask him that. No, I haven't. Okay. Anyway, to read the Bible. Read it. And pray read it.
Amen.
Two good ways to come to the Bible. Maybe some more, but these are the best, I think.
Yeah,
and, you know, the second verse, Romans 10:17. Let's read that together.
Amen.
Faith comes out of hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. Okay. You check. You say, I don't have much faith. I don't have much faith. I just don't seem to believe much. We all have that problem. But let me tell you, it's related to the Word, Because if you're little in the Word, you have little faith. More in the Word, you have more faith. Much in the Word, you have much faith. Faith is not in you. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing from the Word of God. Faith is infused into us.
Amen.
The more you read the Bible, the more you pray over the Bible, saints, the more faith you get. And if you're too weak to pray read, just read. I have been, at times in my Christian life, because of various things and problems and whatever, I have been weak. And I just felt, Lord, I just don't have the strength to pray read. And I just read. But that reading was just chicken noodle soup.
That's right.
All I could take was just a little broth.
That's right.
But it strengthened me.
Amen.
It strengthened me. Then, after I read a while, I may have the strength just to pray, oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Pray about what I read, maybe. Yep. You see? And again, in my experience, prayer reading is of two categories. This is just me, but in my experience, prayer reading is of two categories, and I like them both. One is very calisthenic, right? Oh, Lord Jesus, I am crucified. Amen. Crucified. Hallelujah. I am. Amen. Crucified. Just exercise over the Word.
Yeah.
Just to strike your spirit against the words of the Bible.
Right.
Read it and exercise every word. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am. Amen. Crucified. Amen. Crucified.
Amen.
With Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
And if you read the booklet Brother Lee has on prayer reading, he presents a very calisthenic view.
Oh, yeah.
And that's good. Also, many times I pray read with more of the reading and the prayer. When I'm with my, just maybe by myself, I'm just pray reading. You know, like maybe I'm pray reading Romans 12:1. I beg you therefore, brothers, through the compassions of God. Oh, Lord, thank you for your compassion. To present your bodies. Oh, Lord, give me the strength to present my body.
Yeah.
A living sacrifice. Lord, I want to be a living sacrifice. I don't want to be a runaway slave, which is your reasonable service. Lord, I admit I have not been reasonable.
Yeah.
I've been running.
That's right.
Lord, I want to be reasonable.
Amen.
Have mercy that I present my body.
Amen.
This is also prayer reading.
Amen.
It's, and you know, sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you'll just be sensitive, just be aware, and just be ready when you when the Lord touches you. Just pray a little bit about that. Whatever it may be. Maybe you just read Matthew chapter 5 and you come to the verse that says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You just pray, oh Lord, I am so unmerciful to others. Lord, forgive me. Lord, infuse me with your merciful attitude. And then go on your reading. So pray reading and reading the Bible is a rich experience. All kinds, there's a lot of dimensions, a lot of angles. Anyway, this brings faith. And I'll tell you something else. When we were in Stillwater, we were fellowshipping back this matter of the Bible, and this came out of the fellowship, and it really, I enjoyed this very much. I want to pass it on to you. The Spirit is in all of us. But if we don't read the Bible, we don't have the vocabulary to understand the speaking of the Spirit within us.
Amen.
The Spirit's in us, and God wants to lead us, and God wants to speak to us.
Amen.
But the vocabulary of God is the Word of God. And if we're not a person who has the Word dwelling in us richly, then God may be speaking. We don't understand what He's saying. It's not understandable. If He's speaking French, and we don't know that language.
Right.
He's just up there speaking French, and we hear the Word. We hear something's going on, but what are you saying, Lord? We need the Bible. And that becomes the way God speaks to us. He quickens the Word in us, and the vocabulary is infused into us.
Amen.
And then we can understand God speaking a lot better, believe me. He doesn't have to shout, stop, but the Word articulates God's feeling.
Amen.
Okay, then, rising early to seek the Lord. We're under the category of normal and proper Christian practices and pursuing the Lord through healthy life practices. Okay. As I mentioned, when Neil and I had this experience in New Orleans, we were both in college, but what prompted this was that the brothers from Houston came through there to share with us this burden of rising early from something that Brother Nee had written that had just been published.
Right.
Okay. Let's read these three verses. Sisters, verse Exodus.
And they gathered it every morning, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted.
Okay, Okay, brothers, Lamentations.
Jehovah's compassions do not fail. They are new every morning.
All together, Psalms. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. Okay. There is something here. I can just tell you that. There is something here. There is a principle, and it's established very clearly in Exodus 16, and that is God feeds his people according to regulation. And he told the children of Israel, I'm going to give you these regulations, and we'll see who follows them. You reach chapter 16, you'll see those words are there. He gives his food to us in a regulated fashion. And that regulated fashion, he demands that we get up and spend time with him before the sun gets hot. Now, you may have your interpretation about that. Well, the sun's not hot till noon, you know. I mean, you know, it's not hot at 10 in the morning. Okay, whatever, you have your reasoning. But the point is, there's a principle, and that is we need to get out of bed early.
That's right.
And church history confirms it.
Oh, yeah.
All the great men of God.
Amen.
Just study the great evangelists, the great preachers, the great theologians who really knew God, and it's one, there are many similarities, but there's this one's right in the middle of it, and that is they were men that rose up early to be with God.
Amen.
And so, saints, if we have the desire to pursue him and to have a normal and proper Christian practice, we cannot neglect this. I'm sorry to say we cannot.
Yeah.
Cannot. And I have a quote here. I've read this many times. I'll read it again.
Amen.
Brother Nee, in this book that the brother shared with us on, says, the first choice giving evidence of one's love toward the Lord is a choice between one's bed and the Lord. That's the first choice.
That's right.
The bed or God.
Oh, right.
Doesn't sound that celestial, does it? It's very down to earth. The bed or God. If one chooses to love his bed more, he sleeps longer. We've all had the experience.
Sure.
I've had the experience many times. Too many. Too many failures I've had in this regard.
Sure.
And that is, the bed is so lovely in the morning. And it's not that lovely at night. Especially for college students, you know. Oh, they like to have, you know, we're all the same, talking and everything. But boy, in the morning it's lovely. Oh, sweet is that pillow. Sweet are those covers, right? So it says, if one chooses to love his bed more, just remember, and I'm going to try to remember too, that I am choosing to love the bed more. I hug that pillow. Oh, I love you, pillow. God, forget it. I love it. If one chooses to love his bed more, he sleeps longer. If he chooses to love his Lord more, he will rise up a little earlier. Yes, a man has to choose between the bed and the Lord. If you love your bed more, sleep on longer. But if you love the Lord more, you must rise up early.
Amen.
It's clear, right?
Clear.
Now listen. Listen. Then he says, this next one is classic. Totally classic. The sickly Christian life, which prevails among God's people today, is less due to any serious spiritual problem than it is to rising up too late in the morning. Why am I sick? Why am I a sick Christian? Why am I weak? Watch what he says. It's due less to any other problem than rising too late. He says, do not therefore count this a small matter.
No.
We try and count. Oh, we all do. This means nothing. What is 1 hour? What's the difference in this hour and that hour? I mean, that doesn't make sense. But watch when he says, do not count this a small matter. The spiritual problem of many lies in their failure to rise up early in the morning.
Yeah, wow.
This may be the root of our problem.
Right.
Then, early rising, listen to this, is the first habit a Christian ought to follow.
Oh.
Isn't that something? The first habit. That's what he says. And I would say this, I have seen from my experience, those new believers who by the mercy of the Lord, in a sense it is a mercy, because this is a battle.
It's a battle.
This is a battle.
Mm-hmm.
But those believers who by the mercy of the Lord begin to rise earlier to be with the Lord, they grow well.
They do.
And they remain.
Amen. That's right.
So I agree. I agree with what he says here. The early rising is the first habit a Christian ought to form.
That's right.
And then he says, it's a great blessing. The world may see no difference in rising 2 hours earlier or 2 hours later. Such a thing might not make any difference in the things of the world. That's right. You may be president of Xerox, I don't know, and get up later. That's another realm. It's another realm. We're not saying that it makes a difference in the world. I don't know if it does or not. I think maybe it does a little bit, but it may not with some people. Okay? Some people may sleep late, and they are very productive. But in the Christian life, there's a principle involved established in Exodus 16, and we cannot violate it.
That's right.
And have a proper and normal Christian life. We may have a sickly Christian life, but do you want that?
Right.
It's no fun. No fun. He goes on to say, reading the Bible an hour earlier produces much more than an hour later. Come out the morning. These 2 hours are not the same. The result of our Bible study and our prayer are different.
That's right.
And this is true in my experience. So we have here these verses. It says, Lamentation says, Jehovah's compassion do not fail, they're new every morning. The good thing is when we fail, we can begin the next morning.
Amen.
Because they're new every morning.
Amen.
So I know, and I don't want to be, you know, legal on this, but I hope in your mind you'll pick up this principle. And you'll seek the Lord's mercy to apply it to your life.
Amen.
I know college is a hard time for the staying up late and studying. And so I don't know. You know, I don't know what to say about that. I don't want to be too much. Because I'm not saying there are times when you don't have a choice. You've got to stay up all night, maybe, to study. So you have to do what you have to do. But keep this in mind.
Yeah.
And when you have the opportunity, when you can, even in the college life, try to go to bed earlier and try to get up earlier.
Amen.
And have that time alone with the Lord.
Amen.
And if possible, even turn your whole self around to do more of your studying without having to do that late night stuff.
Yeah.
I know maybe sometimes you can't avoid it.
Yeah.
But if you can, try to avoid it, because a normal Christian life is a life of going to bed at a reasonable time and getting up earlier.
Amen.
Now, how early? I don't know. You have to pray. You have to consider. Don't make it too extreme,
right?
But don't be too easy on yourself. Try to have at least 15 minutes alone.
Good.
Amen.
Yeah.
Every college student here, I hope you'll try to have at least 15 minutes alone with the Lord.
Amen.
Preferably work up to 30.
Yeah.
But at least start with 15. In that time, try and find, if possible, a place alone where you're not inhibited by other people, where you won't bother other people. Have your Bible there. Have your materials there.
Right.
And spend some time to pray and to call on the Lord.
Right.
Practice calling.
Amen.
To confess.
Amen.
And to read and pray read. You will see a difference in your life.
That's true.
Guaranteed.
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 That's right.
Amen.
Okay, then praying and confessing. These are normal. Praying.
Amen.
Praying. The main thing from prayer we saw from Luke, what? Luke 11? Yeah. The main thing from prayer is you get more of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That's the main thing. You pray. And good. Pray for anything you want. Pray for Cadillacs. Pray for whatever. Because you'll just get more of the Holy Spirit. He may not give them to you, but you can say, Lord Jesus, give me a Cadillac. He gives you the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, give me a mansion, the Holy Spirit. No, actually the best thing to pray for is not that, but it's okay. You know, you can pray for anything. Because Paul said, you know, we can cast our cares on him and make known our requests.
Yeah.
But he may not give them to you if they're not what's best for you. But he will give you the Holy Spirit. He will give you the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what's our blessing is to pray for others.
Amen.
Pray. Yes, we do need to pray about our situation some. The main thing, though, remember, he's going to give you, when you pray about your situation, mainly he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. But you pray for others. And he'll give you the Holy Spirit there, too.
Yeah.
But you may see some blessing reaching them.
That's right.
And there is a sweetness to pray for others.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a sweetness.
Yeah.
And I would say this. Okay, maybe in your situation, you know, Jonathan, maybe you have a problem in your life, we may pray about it, but maybe we see another person that has a similar problem. Pray for him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe your parents are unreasonable and they're giving you a lot of trouble or whatever. Then you know another brother has a similar situation. Pray for that brother's situation. Lord Jesus, pray for my brother. Pray his parents wouldn't hold him back from the meetings. They wouldn't try and frustrate him. Lord, even save his parents. Turn his parents. Not just for your situation.
Amen.
You pray for other people's problem and you really enjoy a sweetness.
Amen.
Very sweet.
Amen.
And confessing is a big part of prayer.
Yes.
Confessing, not only sin, but confessing everything that clutters our heart, ambitions, pride, all these things. We just confess them. Lord, forgive me. Forgive that thought I had. Forgive that ambition within me. Forgive this. Forgive that. It's a kind of a exhaling.
Amen.
Just to confess.
Amen.
It's so sweet to pray and to confess.
Amen.
Anger and everything. Okay. Turn the page. Then, normal and healthy exercise is giving thanks.
Amen. Amen.
Rejoicing and speaking by faith.
Amen.
Let's read these three verses. Sisters first.
Always rejoice. In everything give thanks.
Brothers.
Be filled in spirit.
Giving thanks at all times
for all things.
All together.
And having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written. I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak.
Okay, Deuteronomy, we learned that Deuteronomy 16:15 says, when they came to the feast, you shall be nothing but joyful.
Nothing but joyful.
Wow. Never knew that verse was there.
Yeah.
Okay, if you know this matter of giving thanks for all things at all times and rejoicing is also an exercise. It's an exercise.
Yeah.
Because consider the matter, I shared this last time, I think. Consider the matter of giving thanks. Many times we don't want to give thanks for what we don't appreciate as a good situation. But you try to give thanks for that situation and you are forced to your spirit. And it's sweet.
Yeah.
I can just say it's sweet to give thanks for everything.
Right.
And to give thanks for the things that don't go our way. It's sweet to do that. And it helps you to touch the Lord. Practice it. Try it. When you make a bad grade on the test, try giving thanks. I mean, I'm not encouraging you to do bad. Study. Do your best. You always got to do your best. Study hard. Do your best. But if you don't do well, just try saying, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Things go wrong, just thank him and rejoice. Praise you, Lord. Praise you for this. This is to help us to get out of the flesh and into the spirit.
Amen.
The flesh is murmuring. The flesh is complaining. The flesh is bitter. The flesh is blaming. The flesh is self-pitying. All this is the flesh. We have problems. We pity ourselves. We blame others. All these things are just natural. But to praise him and to thank him because he is God, and at least he has allowed it.
That's right.
At least he allowed it because he's sovereign.
Yeah.
And maybe he allowed it because he's getting, you know, maybe when we don't make that good grade, we say, Lord Jesus, praise you, thank you. And the Lord speaks to us. You know why you didn't do well? Because you didn't study. Because you just stayed up all night jabbing with somebody. Because you just messed around. So we say, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
I say amen to your word. I say amen. You needed to get my attention. And I accept it. Anyway, praising, thanking is an exercise.
Right.
And it doesn't do any good to bemoan your situation. Mm-hmm. It does not.
No.
It doesn't help. Self-pity doesn't do any good at all.
No.
So, something bad happened. We don't curse, I don't think, but the world curses, but we complain and murmur and everything else. It doesn't help. Praising, thanking, and rejoicing forces you to your spirit, and you will touch water.
Amen.
There's water there.
Amen.
There's more water in the valley than there is on the mountain.
Amen.
Right? The water is always in the valley.
Absolutely.
That's where the water is. That's where the rivers are. If you're on the mountaintop, you don't find much water up there.
Right.
But when you're in the valley, it's easy to find water.
Amen.
And the way you find it is you praise Him, you thank Him, and you rejoice, and you have discovered the river and the spring right in the valley. Okay? And here it says we have the spirit of faith.
Yeah.
I believe, therefore, I spoke. And again, I want to hit this verse. Within your spirit is faith.
Amen.
But the way to get there is to speak it.
Amen.
We have faith, but what helps you is to speak that faith. Mm-hmm. So practice speaking by faith.
Yeah.
This is making mention that His name is exalted, as Neil mentioned, one of the buckets.
Yeah.
We can just, you know, praise Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I love you, Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
This is speaking by faith.
Yeah.
Okay, have to move on. Pursuing the Lord by knowing the taste of life and walking according to the mingled spirit.
Amen.
Everything that we have just spoken of will help us to know our spirit.
Yes. Yes.
If you don't learn how to call on the Lord, I don't think you're going to know your spirit that well.
Mm-hmm.
We learn the taste of life by learning to call on the Lord. So I hope all of us will practice calling on the Lord.
Amen.
To learn the taste of life.
Amen.
Peter says, if you have tasted,
yeah,
the Lord is good. There is a taste.
Right.
There's a taste of life.
Amen.
And then here in the Old Testament, Moses said, I've set before you life and death. Choose life.
Yeah. Choose life.
We need to know how to choose life. Life is a taste, in a sense. You have to have a taste of life. You have to know life to choose it. Okay. For time's sake, we just need to move on. We have to stop at 10:30. Pursuing the Lord by a daily life of sowing to the small, to the Spirit in the small things. Okay, let's read Galatians 6, 7 through 9.
Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For he who sows unto his own flesh will reap corruption of the flesh. But he who sows unto the Spirit will on the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing what is good. For in the proper season we will reap if we do not faint.
Okay, the small things, you know, sowing is just to plant a seed.
That's right.
But God is not mocked. That means that when we sow, there's going to be an issue to that.
That's right.
And if we sow to the flesh, we may think we get away with it, but we don't. That's what this verse says. We don't. When we sow to the flesh, we plant that little seed, and nothing happens, okay. Plant a little seed in the ground there. It's all the same as it was yesterday. But in due time,
right,
there's a harvest. So this is a warning to all of us. Be careful about our sowing. We sow. Our whole life is a sowing.
Right.
We sow by the things we look at, the things we read,
right,
the
right,
places we go, the words that we speak. Everything is a sowing, a sowing, a sowing, a sowing. And we need to practice by the mercy of the Lord to try to sow to the Spirit.
Amen.
But don't lose heart, Paul says, in sowing to the Spirit, because it seems that sowing to the Spirit and sowing to the flesh, it's about the same. I've sowed to the flesh and I sowed to the Spirit.
Right.
I don't see anything different after a day, and I don't see much different after 2 days.
Right.
And after 3 days, well, there's a little sprout on both of them. It's all the same.
Yeah.
It's all the same. Maybe even after a week, 2 weeks, a month. I don't know how long. Maybe everything looks the same until eventually there's a fruitation.
Right.
There's a blossom.
Exactly.
There's a manifestation.
Right.
Something has come out of my sowing that is corruption.
Yeah.
Something has come out of my sowing that's eternal life.
Amen.
God is not mocked.
Right.
So here, young people, we need to, all of us,
yes,
be aware that life is a life of sowing.
Amen.
And that there's a reaping. And don't lose heart.
Yeah.
I know I lose heart sometimes. Seems like nothing changes.
Yeah.
But Paul says we shouldn't lose heart.
That's right.
Because in the proper season, there will be a reaping.
Amen.
So let's practice sowing to the Spirit. Every time you call, you are sowing to the Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
Every time you read the Bible, you are sowing to the Spirit.
Amen.
Every time you pray and confess, you're sowing to the Spirit.
Amen.
When you come to meetings, you're sowing to the Spirit.
Amen.
And when we do other things, which we all know, Many other things we sow to the flesh.
That's right.
Okay?
Amen.
Okay. Then point number six, I think the Neil pointed this out when he was in Oklahoma City. A good verse is Zechariah 4:10. Yeah. Who has despised the day of small things?
Small things.
This is a great verse. We consider the sowings too small. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether I do that or that. It's just a little thing. Don't despise the small things.
That's right.
In the small things, we sow.
That's right.
In the small things, we sow.
Amen.
Probably not in the big things, but in the small things, we sow. Don't consider these things insignificant. Then I like this verse in 1 Samuel. Those who honor me, I will honor. We have many choices to honor the Lord or to dishonor the Lord.
Right.
Every time we honor him, that's a sowing, and the Lord honors that.
Amen.
He respects that. Mm. Precious is in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints, right?
Right?
The Lord sees those who honor him in great ways and in small ways. Okay. Pursuing by keeping our love for the Lord fresh.
Amen.
Okay, let's all read this.
I know your works, and your labor, and your endurance, and that you cannot bear evil men. And you have endured, and have borne all things because of my name, and have not grown weary. But I have one thing against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen from, and repent, and do the first works. But if not, I am coming to you, and will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent.
Okay, briefly. This church had works, they had labor, they had endurance, they couldn't bear evil men, they bore all things, they did not grow weary. They were really good.
Right. A
lot of very, very, very positive things. And I could even pray about these things. I mean, I could say, Lord, my works, you know, help me in my works, strengthen me for the labor, grant me endurance. Lord, I don't want to bear any evil. Lord, you know, I mean, you could even pray.
Yeah.
These are all good things. And I don't mean that in a pejorative sense. They are good things. But when we leave the first love, we are on the way down. And no matter what else remains, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. In this epistle, two times the Lord says, repent. 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 Two times. And what is a sign that we're in trouble? The shining is gone. The shining is gone. I have seen believers, Christians, even maybe some saints, who are zealous to work, zealous to endure, zealous to bear, zealous to this, zealous to that, but not much shining. And in my own experience, too. The shining is gone. That's what happens when we lose the first love. What brings the shining? The love.
Amen.
The love brings the shining. If we don't love him, there's no shining. Some simple saints, they don't know anything. They don't know anything about the Bible. They don't know anything how to work. But they love him, and there's a shining.
Yeah. Yeah.
So attractive.
Yeah.
So saints, when the shining is gone, when we sense we're dim,
yeah.
I'm just dim. I
right.
do everything right. I know everything. I don't cause trouble.
Right.
Good brother, good sister. But there's no shining. There's no shining. We need to check. Is our love fresh? Is our love fresh? And you won't have a fresh love, I don't think, if you don't spend some time with him alone. We'll get to this in the second session.
Yeah,
but
right.
we've got to have time with him.
Yeah.
Love requires some intimacy.
Right.
Love requires some personal time alone.
Mm-hmm.
If you and your wife, are just we're just always with, you know, everybody, but you're never alone, there's probably some big problems. Love requires cultivation. Cultivation, intimacy, time alone. And I would say we need to speak that love. I know you've heard this, but saints, we need to speak our love for him. Lord Jesus, I love
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Even when our love is very
That's
dim,
right.
even
right.
when we're weak in love,
right.
don't quit speaking your love. Because you do love him deep in your spirit.
Amen.
I know every one of us in this room, we love him. And so we need to practice speaking out of the spirit of faith.
That's right.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Now fan into flame. Fan into flame your love. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. He loves to hear it from you.
Amen.
He wants to hear it from you. When I was getting about to get married, maybe I told this story. I keep forgetting what I've said before. Oh Lord. Anyway, bear with me. Sorry. The best advice that I got, I just so precious to me. It's so small too. I was talking to Benson, and I was in Houston, and I went to Benson about marriage and everything. And Benson said, "You know, brother, I really encourage you for a good marriage life. One thing that'll really help you," he says, "every day tell your wife you love her." And he said that brother Samuel Chang had told him this or something. He said, "You know, this is keeps our relationship fresh to speak our love for our spouse." Okay, some days you don't feel like you love your spouse after you've been married a while. And maybe after the first year when you're starting to hit these conflicts, you know, and the honeymoon's over, then you realize, you know, this person is a little different than I thought, at least in some ways. But I tell you, I remember that, and I just, every day I tell my wife, Roberta, I love you.
Amen.
I love you. And it really is, you know, it really helped to keep the love fresh, to speak it.
Amen.
To speak it.
Amen.
So we need to do the same with the Lord.
Amen.
Speak your love to the Lord.
Amen.
And when you get married, speak your love to your spouse.
Amen.
It helps. No joke. You love your spouse, but speak it.
Speak.
That fans it into flame, and that causes it to grow.
Amen.
Not, this is a matter of speaking, like calling on the Lord. The Lord likes to hear it.
Yeah.
Doesn't just want you to think, oh Lord Jesus. He wants it out of your mouth.
Right.
Okay. Now, we're going to finish the last three points of this outline and then go to the next outline after the break.
Yeah.
Okay?